yours.
All right, off
Are
you
you
go.
re okay?
No? Yes? Okay. All right. Hi, everyone. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you to my friends and my sponsor for coming this evening, especially my friends on the East Coast. How fabulous that you're up so late, and thank you. I always share with my friends and especially and also my sponsor when I'm sharing, not because yay, yippee, come and listen to me, but I hope that you also hear experience, strength, and hope from them if there is time. So, as I know half of you and half of you I don't, let me share with you why I came here. So, I've been coming into these rooms since the 80s, probably 82 or 83. And I have 24 and a half years of sobriety with my food, and my emotional sobriety improves a day at a time. I continue to travel this path. I work with others. I resisted coming into the sexy club called Overeaters Anonymous for many, many years. If you are suffering today, I hope that you will listen for the invitation. I hope that you will come all the way in and sit all the way down and see what God has in store for you. So this is what I looked like when I came in. I am a girl who diets really, really well. I've gotten ribbons from Weight Watchers. I've done a photo shoot for Nutrisystem. I've also wired my jaw shut for 3 months and lost no weight at 250 pounds in a size 26 dress. I've gotten down to the size that I am today several times, but I was never able to stay stopped. I didn't know that the solution resided with the guidance of a higher power, identifying with people who ate in disturbing ways that I did. And I needed a rewiring of my heart. Those flimsy reeds, those old ideas that I had, they had to be discarded, but I had to be shown. And for me, I had to be shown through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, you read the tradition that says that we have to have a desire. And I'm just going to add, from the big book, it says that we had to have an honest desire. That's the only requirement, is an honest desire. And I always had a desire to be thin, but I really didn't have an honest desire for you to take away my food. So this is what I look like today. It's a little chilly, so I'm bundled up here in a, I've got a blanket on my lap and a sweatshirt on. And I will show you some other photos later about how the miracle has expanded in my life. So, you know, I would ask you, and even if you've heard me speak before, you know, I read every day from the 24-hour day book, and I have this little mark on October 21st, and it says, "Keep a listening ear, an ear bent to catch the sound of the gentle knocking at the door of your heart by the Spirit of God. Then open the door of your heart and let God's Spirit come in." The big book tells me that no human power can relieve me. And I would have told you that that was bonkers, that that was absolutely crazy. And for many, many years, I really, really felt that. But I know today, I know who I am and I know who I'm not. And I am not a girl who can manage and control her weight. I know that this is permanent, progressive, and fatal. And I had to be out of all of my ideas, old ones, new ones, all that frothy emotional appeal, the billboards, the little diet ads that used to be in the back of the Sunday paper that I used to look at every single week. I had to divorce myself from all of that and come all the way in here and take the hand of somebody else who's been able to guide me through. I give a lot of service in here. I sponsor women only. Actually, a man's never ever asked me, but I haven't done that to date. I have a sponsor who's here. That's Deborah. She's right there with the very très chic green and I think it's more teal or turquoise and black scarf on. She's a very chic dresser. She now lives in Palm Springs. I'll just tell you her whole life. We used to live on the same street. Just coincidence. But anyway, and Deborah too has a sponsor with decades and decades. So I'm not somebody who believes that once you're done with the steps, I'll see you, you're on your way, because I am continuing to trudge on this path, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. So if you are struggling, you know, it's not my job to tell you this is it for you, but I hope that you will identify. I still come to meetings to remember where I've been, where I am today, and where I haven't been yet. And that yet is huge. And that's why I continue to trudge this path and take the hand of other women who are still suffering. My sponsees who are all recovered, they pass this message on continually, and it's a beautiful thing to see. On page 25 of the big book, there's a chapter, first of all, called There Is a Solution. So by this point, you know, I read the doctor's opinion and I started to understand why once I started, I couldn't stop. That most normal people take a slice, they put the rest of it away. They have a scoop of the cold stuff and they're able to put it away. Somebody whose mind works like mine or who has an allergy to those major ingredients in there thinks, I stop with that. Have a couple more loaves. Have a couple more rounds, girlfriend. Don't just get an extra scoop. Why don't you just buy a gallon? And that's okay. Buy extra spoons and some candles, and you can do this and you can do that, and nobody will ever know. I would have told you that I never ever lied. I'm so honest. I always tell the truth. That wasn't true. And step one is all about honesty. And it took me a long time. And it says that nobody likes the leveling of their pride. Nobody wants to admit complete defeat. That would be me. That would be me. How could this be it? Overeaters Anonymous, are you joking? I have a good job. I now have to keep a great household. I can cook. I can this. I can that. But my life was unmanageable, but I just couldn't see it. So I know for me today that I am a seriously alcoholic, as the people in this book who wrote this, and they say as they once were, there is no middle of the road solution. So I would do 5 days on, 2 days off, then this, then that, manipulate all the time, gambling, just like Bill did. He was gambling in stocks and in the exchange. I was gambling with my food and basically with my life, jaywalking in and out of those cars. And, you know, then Dr. Silkworth, God bless him, told us that he says to me, Susan, you are going to keep on doing this over and over again, girlfriend, over and over again, unless you can have an entire psychic change. There is very little hope that you can stay in the same size body and have a sane mind most of the time, unless you follow these steps, unless you pick up this spiritual toolkit. And there are many places in my book where I have personalized it. So in the beginning, and these are all things that you have taught me, I didn't make any of this up along the way. I take little nuggets from everybody. So where it says to whom it may concern, I have it personalized and it says, Dear Susan. So when I read this, you know, I have to drum it home through this thick head, you know, 16 years. I had to keep on coming to meetings, folding my arms, not liking you. And they say pain is the touchstone. Seatbelt extender being yelled all the way down a TWA flight. That's how old I am. That I needed an airplane extender. It didn't do anything. People yelling out of car windows to me about my size. People asking me if I was pregnant and lying about it. None of it. None of it stopped me. So it tells me on this opposite page that I can never safely use X, Y, or Z again. And those are things that you have to sort out for yourself. I'm not the flour and sugar police. Everybody figures out what's right for them. But I know from those slices and those ice cold containers what the premium ingredient was. And that frothy emotional appeal, that was who I was. I was constantly running up my credit cards. Every single time that I lost weight, I had to buy a whole new wardrobe. Go on a great date with a guy, do this, redecorate in the house. Oh, this. And before I knew it, I was eating again. You would blink and not see me for a few weeks and you were gobsmacked. You really, really didn't know what to say. Because didn't I just see her? You would see people give each other that wide-eyed look like, what has happened? What has happened? How is that possible? But I know I ate like Bill Wilson drank. And if you have read his story, you think, surely, this is the page turner. This is it. He's coming out. It's Armistice Day. They've told Lois. This is it. He's pulled his mattress down. Wait, cliffhanger. And then he drank again. So this message was shared with me in 1983. And I never ever saw the person again who shared this message with me until 3 years ago. She planted a seed. I believe that God brought me here to America to launch that search and rescue for me, because I don't know that I would have found OA in England. Is it there? Absolutely it is. And if you zoom around the world with me, you know it is. And, you know, I've been blessed to now go to meetings when I'm home, to be of service everywhere. But on left to my on my own devices, I don't think I would have found it. So, you know, I got to work in here. So here was the touchstone of the pain. Funny thing, it was a family event. Shocking. I'm sure none of you can relate to that. And I went home to England for my sister's wedding, and it was just horrible. We were estranged at the time. I went and I had a run-in with a Costco size container of grapes, which to anybody out there on the outside, they think, what is she talking about? What is she talking about? And you didn't tell me if I couldn't mention food, so sorry. I was driving home from Costco with my dad. We were having a brunch before my sister's wedding, and they sell those big containers. We had two of them. I have a large family. I have a lot of siblings. There were people coming. And I was uncomfortable. I was restless, irritable, and discontent. I was in that morass of self-pity. I already knew I couldn't fit into the dress that I had bought for the wedding. There was nothing as sexy as Spanx around at the time. You had to really suck it in with some garments that just, you know, they just weren't good. And I knew I had to do this. And of course, my luck, it was a hot day in England. It was a hot summer, of course. And I had to wear all of this stuff to hold it all the way in. And we drove home on this very short drive. And just like a good addict, I'm popping those things in my mouth, just like pills. And when we got home, and it was only about a 10-minute drive, probably didn't chew any of them. They're probably still digesting somewhere. And I got out of the car. And God bless my dad. He just looked at me because they were all gone. And he said, gave me the car keys, and he said, you need to go back. So I am as seriously alcoholic as the people who wrote this book. There is no middle of the road solution. I will die. I know what the fatality is, and 250 pounds would just be my starting point. And it says as well that now I'm in this life, I'm placed in the position where life is becoming impossible. I would have been very insulted, but I'm telling you that it was unmanageable. That is not somebody who has their life together. That's not somebody who just fancies a little bit, just a little nosh. That is not normal behaviors. And this centers in my mind. So I had to have a rewiring of my heart. I had to spiritually awaken here. So I came back after my sister's wedding. It was the last time that I hurt myself with food, which is a miracle. And my nephew, who's actually 24, he will be 25 in January, has never ever known me any other way, which is just unbelievable. So I came back, I made a phone call, and I got to work. And I will tell you, I haven't looked back. Have I skipped all the way down the yellow brick road? Absolutely not. Was I thrilled to go and make amends to the ex-boyfriend? Was I thrilled to go into Gelson's, which is a bourgeois grocery store out here, with my check and have to pay back for all the food I stole? Not particularly. But I know what those impediments look like and those secrets that will kill me. So I had to be radically honest. And I was taken to that place of willingness, and I was willing to be taken. I knew that I didn't have one more bite, one more trick up my sleeve, not one more white rabbit to pull out of my top hat. It was over, just like for Bill. And Ebby came and saved his life, and this woman, Stacy, came and saved mine. Today, my life looks really, really different, and yet it doesn't, because I still have a great job. I'm still very A-type personality. I still like to keep a nice house. I still like to entertain. I'm still very social. What has changed is I eat in front of you. I'm not eating everything before I arrive, when I leave, and just having a salad with Diet Ranch. Because clearly my friends knew at 250 pounds, I was eating a lot more than lettuce and Diet Ranch. So, you know, I tried every imaginable remedy, and this is the remedy. It says we have a proven workable method. We read that at some meetings in our invitation to you. I do have a life today beyond my wildest dreams. So I still have a great job, except I'm not stealing your food out of the fridge or pretending I'm not eating. God has done for me what I could never have done for myself. I have no wreckage with my family. My dad raised me. I grew up with my dad. My mom, unfortunately, was a paranoid schizophrenic. I grew up with her until I was about 12. And I was able to find some semblance of a relationship with her before she died. I was able to go and see her and understand. And today, I have a life with some of these incredible people. I'm sorry if you're not in them. You just have to come to the OA birthday party and then you get to be in them. So there's, oh, look, there's Lita and she is here. I am in the center of the herd. I give service here above the meeting level. I have been on the LA intergroup. I've been on the San Fernando Valley intergroup. We have two intergroups. 12 miles away from each other. Don't ask me why, but we do. I've chaired the birthday party, as some of you might know. I love Overeats Anonymous. Oh, look, honey's here too. I love Overeats Anonymous. It has done for me what I could never do for myself, ever, ever. There's Deborah. She was here before. Anyway, I'm going to stop sharing. And it says here, and tonight, you know, if you are struggling, you know, it's interesting. Somebody here today, I made a call to her because she wrote very honestly in a chat yesterday that she was relapsing and suffering. And I didn't know that at the beginning of the conversation, we were going to end up working together. And this is an opinion. A lot of people here aren't getting well because they're not being given the correct information. And when somebody logged off, they probably didn't like what I said. Sorry. And when I hear that somebody is eating and they're doing a fourth step, I can't help but tell them, you can't do a fourth step while you're eating because you haven't taken the first three steps. And the big book guides me to be clear, not to be mean, but to be honest. Because when I'm honest and if I share correct information, it tells me from the beginning of the book, hopefully you won't need any further authentication. Hopefully you won't have to keep killing yourself with food, vomiting down back alleys, starving yourself to death, all those disturbing behaviors. And there are those of us who stay normal size, but it centers in our mind. And it says here that I have to carry this message. And what is the message? The message is what the 12 steps state. So each step, you know, has a principle. And the first one is honesty. So if I'm eating, how can I be honest? And then step two, the principle is honesty. Then we go to faith. And then step four is courage. It takes courage to tell somebody some of the things that I did. I have integrity in step five. I have a willingness in step six. And then God grants me with humility. Step eight, brotherly love. Step nine, justice. And then we've got 10, 11, and 12, right? Practicing these principles in all my affairs, those relationship chapters. And I do not do those perfectly. I do them a lot better than I used to, but I am no saint. No saint whatsoever, but perseverance. That's what step 10 teaches me. So I keep on going and sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, but I know I can never stop. And that's why I continue to work with others because that's what step 12, you know, it directs me to do that. And it also tells me that when I do that, just the same way that happened to Bill when Ebby came to see him, I'm going to see you fresh skinned and bright eyed, brushing your hair, you know, putting some makeup on, making your bed, tidying your house, because that time that you're going to spend with God in the morning or hearing the miracles from other people, Those are the changes, those small changes. So putting down the four is really the smallest change. I knew how to do that. I knew how to diet, but I didn't know how to resist picking it up. And today I don't. You know, from the bedevilments to the 10th step, so much changes. So that's my time. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. And please don't leave before your miracle. Thank you again, Mary.